Okay, so you look, and the ingredients of a great city are all here. You've got good spacing of the buildings. You've got windows on the street. You've got nice wide sidewalks, but there's no life here. There's nobody here. Why is that? Well, it's because the architecture, the design of these buildings really is not, it's not at a human scale. It's at an automobile scale. These are places you drive by at and you look and say, wow, that's a nice looking building. Our ancestors didn't have the wealth to build, this magnitude of a building. They had to build more simply. And when they did that, they wound up with places that actually interacted with humanity a lot better than the places we built.
People who are interested in sustainable development in general are going to recognize a lot of the ideas that you end up advocating. But you described yourself as a small government guy who doesn't want public transit shoved down your throat, and you're really coming at this from a totally different angle. How did you get there, and what's the advantage of looking at these things from an almost purely economic point of view?
It was not an easy path to get here. You know, I started out as a civil engineer building what I thought was Great America. I was building strip malls and housing subdivisions, and I was making America this better country. I was responding to the market demand, and I was fulfilling, my role in society. It was really in doing that that I started to question things that didn't make sense to me. You know, I had one project that I did where we couldn't make it work, and I wound up basically quadrupling the size of it so that we could get a grant. And then everything was great. I mean, the city was happy. All the residents were happy. They threw a party for me. I got a bonus at my work. It was wonderful. When I stepped back and realized that what I had done is taken a project that they couldn't afford and then made it four times bigger, I realized that, we're going in the wrong direction. We just have a bad system. We have a system based off a bunch of assumptions built out of some immediate prosperity we experienced post-World War II. And we've never really gone back and questioned those assumptions and whether they are still valid, whether they hold true, or whether they were invalid in the first place.
And so that's what you're talking about when you describe suburbia or growth as a Ponzi scheme?
Yes. What we have done is we are financially exchanging a near-term benefit in cash for this long-term obligation of having to maintain the infrastructure. We have said, when this new development comes in, when we get new growth, we spend, as the public, very, very little for that. But we get all of the tax return from it. So in the first year, the first 2 years, the first 10 years, the first 20 years, it is a great financial transaction for us. We are only making money. It is when we have to start maintaining stuff then where we spend multiple sums of what we have brought in cumulatively over the whole life of it. And really, the story of America today, the story of our economy faltering, the story of us not being able to reignite growth in the rates that we need it, is that, we've run out of Peters to rob to pay Paul's. We simply don't have the ability to grow at the accelerated rates we need in order to sustain this whole financial Ponzi scheme that we've created. And it manifests itself most cruelly at the local level, where we stand up and look, and we have all the stuff to maintain and no tax base to do it.